I think some people would say, would define bravery as facing some area of adversity and choosing to face, bravery is choosing to face adversity with a higher goal in mind. Actually, you face a you choose to face something with great difficulty, but you choose to face it in such a way that it has a higher end to it. That's what people would say bravery is. But occasionally, we have to face adversity when we don't choose it at all. And it just comes upon us. And we have to decide how we are going to respond to that. And so I'm just going to invite Dawla Diep, to come up. And I just want Dawla to share a little bit of her story, because she has not chosen what she is facing at the moment. You wouldn't choose it, would you?
No, don't suggest it.
But nonetheless, there is something of how God is choosing to work in Dawla at the moment. I think it's a story that we just need to hear a little bit more.
Is
that
okay? Okay, thank you. Brilliant. Thank you. So I want to start by just reading, well, I'm not going to read it, I'm going to paraphrase it, a verse from the Bible from 2 Corinthians that says, well, God says, my grace is enough for you. You know, and my power is greatest in your weakness. My power is greatest in your weakness. And none of us choose to be weak. And I want to say that I'm a testimony to that verse being true. That verse is completely true, that he is greatest, or his power has the most opportunity to work when we are weak. And whatever we're facing, whatever you're facing, whatever difficulties we have in life, when we call on God and recognize our own weakness and our own inability and say, God, help, that actually God is there for us. So I've got to say the last four months have been the most difficult time of my life. Not something that anyone should ever choose to put upon them. So back in mid-November, I was diagnosed with primary breast cancer. But within a month, they were saying, actually, you've got secondary breast cancer. It's in your spine, it's in your ribs, it's in my upper shoulders, in my upper legs. You know, it's basically everywhere. Not in a terrible state, but it's everywhere. And it's kind of like that moment when you're looking at your own mortality, and it's scary. It's a place of shock. It's a place of anxiety. For some people, it will be a place of fear and of anger and things. But I have to say that God has been good throughout, because I have been walking with God. And actually, to be honest, he's been walking with me, which is all the better. So when I was first given the diagnosis back in mid-November, 2 days later, I opened a parcel that came in the post. It was something I had ordered, but it was something that was completely random, because as I opened this parcel, it was something that I'd completely forgotten about and don't really have much idea as to why I had ordered it, but it was a wig stand. Now, most of you will know that chemotherapy, lose your hair, you need a wig, and so on and so forth. And I had this wig stand, and as I opened it, and I went, oh, yeah. God gave me a verse from the Bible from Jonah, and where he says, God prepared a fish in advance to swallow Jonah. And it wasn't that Jonah fell in the water and God went, ooh, what am I going to do? Oh, right, fish. It's that God prepared it in advance. God prepared that fish in advance to be in the right place at the right time with a big enough mouth and a big enough stomach or whatever to swallow Jonah. And that is how he is with all of us when we call on him. And that God was saying to me, I am with you and I go before you. I am with you and I go before you, whatever the situation is. You know, and he has. He's been speaking to me constantly for the last 3-4 months. He's been a constant source of strength, and I'm not strong. I know I'm bolshy, but I'm not really strong. I'm not really courageous. But God in me has been with me and has gone before me in every circumstance. So at Christmas, I was quite ill. I ended up in A&E on Christmas Day and felt absolutely atrocious. And they said I could stay in, but I'd probably catch something worse. But spent that week feeling really vulnerable, really ill. And I was like, well, God, how does this work? How does this work? How can I say on the one hand I have faith in God, and on the other hand, I'm anxious and scared and like, what is the future? How does that work? And God said, you know, if you hit your thumb with the hammer, it hurts. And you have been hit emotionally with a sledgehammer and it hurts. And believe me, it does. It does hurt. And I've had lots of low days. But God, you know, that's okay. God understands. And that God is with us in that and picks us up from that. And one thing I just wanted to say was that a couple of weeks ago, I have this tendency to have imaginary conversations with the doctor. I hope that doesn't make me insane. It's just my way of processing things. And I was actually praying, and my brain did this detour, and there I was in the consulting room opposite the doctor. And actually, as I was sitting there, God appeared next to me, because what? God is with me. And he also appeared sitting next to the doctor opposite me. I'm like, oh, okay, I didn't invent that. That wasn't my imagination. And I was like, doctor, I want to know my prognosis. How long have I got? Because, I don't know, that's just the way I am. I like to face things. And I was getting a bit frustrated with the doctor because the doctor didn't know, which I know he doesn't know. But I was getting angry with him. And then I went, but God, you do know. And God does know. You know, and there's a verse in Job 14:5, I think it is, where God's basically saying, I have numbered your days. That doesn't mean it's right, you're limited. It's like, I have your life in my hands, and you will not pass away until you have done what I want you to do, and until I have decided that your time is up. And that was a real encouragement to me, and became an even greater encouragement when the next day I decided to go online, which is always a bad idea. So I went to cancer research, and cancer research say people with stage 4 breast cancer tend to, well, 15% live 5 years. And the median, that means on average, you survive 3 years. And I'm like, that's a bit short. I was thinking I'd get a bit longer than that. But you know, actually, the following day at church was brilliant. And it didn't knock me at that moment at all. And God was just there blessing me, and I could see the goodness of God. And it's going back to the wig stand. I am with you, but I go before you. God knew I was going to go on the internet, as I have a tendency to do, rightly or wrongly, and he knew I was going to do that, and he prepared me for it. And he says, whatever the doctor says, your life is in my hands, whatever. And it's the same for all of us in whatever situations we have. You know, whatever situation, our life is in God's hands. And that's just, it's good, isn't it? It's good. Just to let you know, I did see the consultant this week, and I said, right, consultant, what's my prognosis? Because I can't help myself, I'm really sorry. And he doesn't know. But he did say, I suspect you're in the 15% because of X, Y, and Z. So, but ultimately, it doesn't really matter. I could get run over by the bus tomorrow. But my life is in God's hands. My life is in God's hands. And there have been people who have come up to me, people who I haven't known well, people I've just met in M&S car park who come, say, oh, yeah, I've heard your story. You know, has it knocked your faith? And I'm like, no, the opposite. And as much as I wouldn't choose this situation, as much as I want to get out of this situation, as much as I'm looking to God to heal me, I can say, actually, I'm in a place of blessing. I am in a place of blessing because God is here and God is real. And, you know, I have these conversations with people all the time. You know, it's just people constantly, because they're saying, you know, we can see that there's something different. Although I have anxiety, I have fear, I have days when I'm just like, duvet day today, I think, you know. But God is there and people can see him at work. And, I just want to finish with that verse that says, call on the Lord and you will be saved. And that's what we need to do. We all need to do that. We need to call on the Lord to be saved, whether it's from our situations or spiritually or whatever. And God is good and he always hears us. Can you say that?
I think the hideously deceptive thing about cancer is that Dawla looks a picture of health, you know, and just looks fine. And I think sometimes when we see Dawla up here, we think, oh, everything's great. But actually, there are real up days and there are real down days. And actually, there's real sensitivity to say to Dawla, are you okay to talk about it today? And so can I just ask you to keep praying for Dawla and for Tim and for the boys as well, that they just need to know our love and our care for them as a family. And while there is breath in our lungs, we will keep praying. We'll keep praying that we have seen moments when God has broken through and healed cancer. And we will keep praying for that. But the thing that is just extraordinary about Dawla's story is the faith of the sense of whatever comes, I will continue to trust in my Lord and my Saviour. So can I just pray for you? Mm. Heavenly Father, we want to thank you, Lord, for Dawla. I want to thank you, Lord Jesus, that, Lord, just the request, you want to come and say something this morning, was just met with, yes, of course I do. And Lord, I want to thank you that you shine, Lord, so brightly in this woman. And I thank you for that. And I pray that you would, Lord, continue to shine in her life. And I want to pray, Lord Jesus, more than for our sake and for saying, but just within herself, Lord, to the dark moments when she wakes up in the middle of the night or when she's alone, that, Lord, you would give her extraordinary peace and joy that surpasses all understanding, that that would enable her to speak words of grace and truth to many people. And we also come and we confront these cancerous cells in her body. And we speak against them now in Jesus' name. And we say, cancer, let go of your grip on Dawla's body right now. Wherever these cancer cells are, we just say, no, you have no authority to be in this woman. And we speak healing and wellness over Dawla in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Thank you very much. I just want to... Oh, I was looking in the wrong place. Do you know God has a real problem? He has a big, big problem. No one's ever seen him. Can we get the first slide up, Tim? I don't know. He has a problem. Nobody can ever say, no, I've touched him, I've felt, you know, he just has a problem. God has this problem of invisibility. And in the Old Testament, all the children of Israel's enemies, they had a field day. Because they said, they just mocked Israel mercilessly. Because they said, you worship something invisible. Look, if you want to see some visible gods, I'll show you some visible. You know, come into our temples. We've got God, we've got loads of gods all around the place. You can touch them, you can see them, you can feel them, you can bow down. And you just worship that you can't even see. You're mad. You know, exactly the same thing happens today. God still has the problem today. He's invisible. And people would say, they may, whether they're polite in it or not, or unpolite, I don't really know, but they would say things like, how could you possibly worship somebody you can't see? You're just making it all up to make you feel better. You might have some sort of like people with some Marxist philosophy and just say, no, it's just to make you feel better. You can come here on a Sunday morning and you feel better about life. You can face cancer and it just makes you feel better in your life. But underneath it, you're making it all up. Unless something can be touched or measured or felt, you're mad. And then you base your whole life around it, and you give your money to it. Ah, you're even madder.
Thanks, love.
So how does God deal with his problem of his own invisibility? The verse that quote, by the way, don't worry, that verse comes from the Bible. Just in case you're worried. Just do the next one. No one has ever seen God. But if we love one another, God abides within us, and his love is perfected in us. And there is something about being a community of believers that love one another that I think shows God. Now, some people would say, yeah, but anybody can love one another. You don't have to be a Christian to love people. Loads of people love each other. In fact, a lot of non-Christians love other people a lot better than Christians do. You don't have to be a Christian to love one another. And I would say, well, firstly, that's because I think we're all made in the image of God. There is something about every single one, whether they've decided to follow Jesus or not, that means they have the capacity to love. But let me just tell you this. I think there is a unique ability to love one another when we know that the creator of all the universe, the man who, the God who made everything, the God who at one point we will have to stand in front, whether we believe him or not, I believe we will have to stand in front of him and give an account for all our life. There is a unique ability to love other people when we know this, that he first loved us. And it just means that we are able to love anybody in a very, I believe, in a very different way. And next week, we're going to look at how do we love one another within a church community in an authentic, transparent, and genuine way. But I believe that when I know that the God who created, who flung stars into space, and at one point I'll have to stand in front of him and give an account of my life, I know when he loves me, well, I think we can build a community of love that is different, of all ages. And it's just unusual. If you just look out, okay, if you took a snapshot of who we are and all the kids and everybody out there, if you took a snapshot of who we are, where else do we see this mix of ages and cultures and backgrounds and wealth and poverty and education? Where else do you see all this sort of mix? Not only do you, because you might actually, I support Saracens, you might go and see if you saw Saracens. But do you know what? The guy that I sit next to when I shout for Saracens, I don't love him, let me know that. In fact, he's a bit of a pain. I don't love him. But somehow God brings us here because we know this, that God has loved us. There's another way. There's another time when God says this. God's got a problem. He says, no one has ever seen God. On to the next one, if you can. No one has ever seen God. But Jesus has made him known. I believe that Jesus is the evidence for God. And I just need to let you know, historically, you can do it if you want to. You can give it a bash. But historically, you'd be quite brave if you tried to prove that Jesus didn't actually exist. Because I need to let you know, throughout the ages, even Jesus' fiercest enemies, the people that really, really want to knock him and discredit, they never really say he didn't exist. They just say he was mad or bad or something else or crazy, you know. But they never say he didn't exist because it's really very, very difficult to prove that he didn't exist. There is more evidence that Jesus Christ existed than there is that Julius Caesar existed. You can't say he didn't exist. So what did Jesus say and what did he do? And Jesus said this. One, he was sent in love. He was sent to restore relationship between me and my Heavenly Father who made me. He said he was God's Son. He kicked off something that reshaped the entire world. And also he said this, that nobody could be reconciled to their Maker except through him. It's quite a big old claim, isn't it? Nobody except through him. And why did Jesus say that? It's a little bit arrogant, if you ask me, to say that. But he said this because he knew that God, the Heavenly Father, had a need for justice. And if God is a God of justice, somebody had to pay for the times when I've been vindictively cruel. When I've said things about other people that are untrue. When I have stolen stuff, when I've lied, when I've exploited people, when I've manipulated people, and when people who love me, I've betrayed their trust. And Jesus knew that his Heavenly Father was God of justice, and somebody needed to pay for that. And Jesus also knew that he was the only one that could possibly do it. His life for my life. That was the deal. That was the deal that Jesus did. And he said, after 3 days in the grave, Jesus came back to life, and the consequence of that is that sin was defeated on the cross and death itself was defeated at his resurrection. That's why Dawla is able to speak with such hope, because actually death has been defeated. It doesn't hold this like fearful grip on you anymore. It doesn't hold our fearful grip on us any longer, because actually death has been defeated. This body might sort of, at one point, will go into the grave. We will all face that. This body will go, and it will just like slowly rot away. And well, we aren't going to the process of it, but that will happen. It will happen. But Jesus said this, that he is the only one that can actually bring me eternal life. Because he is the only one able to be a worthy sacrifice for the things that I have done. And now he just opens his arms and invites you to accept a way back into friendship with your loving Heavenly Father. Back to an eternity, to God that started it all off by loving you. He loved you. You know, he wrote all the days for your life. He wrote them out before even one of them came into being. And the banner over it all is, I just love this person. And I want to be in relationship with them. And you know, when Dawla said about her own mortality, you think she wasn't expecting that news to come. And you know, so often, we don't expect things like that. I think the older I get, the more I'm aware of my own mortality. You know, when you're young, I live forever. Nothing's going to knock me. Nothing could, like, knock me off. But actually, as you get older, you think, no, that actually, one day, I am getting older. I do creak a lot more. I do find it harder to get up. But actually, my immortality, and I think, oh, I just wanted to ask the question. How will we face our Maker? How will you face your Maker? And you think, oh, well, what do I have to do? And you think, the only thing that you have to do is this, is to accept that Jesus is the Lord of your life. Well, sure, do I have to prove myself? Do I have to do this? Do I have to go to church? Do I have to go and get baptized? Do I have to be really nice? Do I have to look like a Christian? All those sorts of things. You think, no, you don't have to do anything. The one thing you have to do is this. Accept that Jesus Christ is the only way back to your Heavenly Father. That's it. No, it can't be that easy. Do you know what it is? It changes you forever. But it is that easy. There's a verse in Hebrews that says, today is the day of salvation. And at some point, you'll have to make a decision how you respond to these things. And if you've been a Christian for years, I have to make these decisions every single day. So, you know, that you've given your life to Jesus, or whether you've been a Christian for years and years, I have to decide every day, no, I'm going to live for Jesus all of my days today. I'm going to carry something of the Holy Spirit with me every day. I have to decide it every single day. But we have to make a decision. How do we respond to what Jesus said about himself? Do you accept it or do you reject it? And we will all at some point face our own mortality. That's the point where we will have to say how we have responded to the claims of Jesus. What I'm going to do is this, that in a minute, I'm going to ask us all to stand up. And we're going to put could you put the next slide up, Tim? I'm going to ask us all to stand, and there's this prayer. And sometimes when we pray things and we ask, you know, I might pray something and ask you to copy it. You think, well, I do want to repeat what you say, but I don't know where it's going. I don't know what you're going to ask me to do. Dear Lord Jesus, repeat after me. Dear Lord Jesus, I'm a goose egg. Okay, we're not going to do that. But I wonder if you see it up there. That is what we're going to say. And in a minute, I'm going to ask us all to stand up. And if you have been a Christian for years, I want you to pray this prayer just to state once again that you are putting your faith wholly and squarely and totally on Jesus Christ, on the fact that he died and was resurrected, that sin and death has been defeated. And if you have never consciously prayed that prayer, I'd ask you to consider it and to join in, because that is the moment that you cross from death to life. That is the moment when actually all you have to do is accept that Jesus Christ is the Lord of your life. That is the moment you become a Christian. And that is the moment that were you to go out there on Grand Park Way and get knocked down and to die, you would come face to face with God and he would say this, you're my beloved child because you accepted Jesus. And I just have to urge you, all the things that we've heard, I want to urge you, to make that decision. Today, it says in Hebrews, is the day of salvation. Can I ask you to stand? Just take a moment to, in silence, read the prayer that is behind us. And then I will read one sentence at a time, and I want to invite all of us to repeat it. But I want to invite anybody who has never consciously accepted Jesus Christ as the Lord of their life and the claims that he makes over you. Because there is an extraordinary gift of salvation for you today. 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 Let me read one sentence and then I'd invite you to repeat it after me. Heavenly Father, thank you that you have always loved me. Let's repeat that now. Heavenly Father, I thank you that you have always loved me. That through Jesus' life, death, and resurrection, I can now have new life in you. I accept Jesus as the Lord of my life. He is the way, the truth, and the life. Help me now to live in the power of the Holy Spirit.
Help me now to live in the power of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Amen.
If for the first time you prayed that prayer, I'd ask you to come and speak to me if you want to. Or if that makes you just a little bit worried, go home to your room and speak to your Heavenly Father that loves you. And at some point, speak to somebody that can help you and can lead you into a wonderful saving faith in Jesus Christ.